So good evening to all dear brothers and sisters in Christ. By God's grace, we are gathered to discuss the memorial meditation. Last week, we selected a topic, our Passover memorial from reprints 3525. And this is the third week. So we'll start from page number 39, paragraph 1. So who can read the first paragraph?
All right, brother.
Okay.
This is my body. Apparently, it was just when the regular Jewish Passover supper was ended that our Lord took some of the leftover unleavened bread, blessed it, broke it into pieces, and gave them to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Matthew 26:26, Mark 14:22, Luke 22:19.
Thank you.
These
Thank you, brother. So, last week we studied that how our Lord actually he celebrated the Passover. So, we saw that how a day began a previous day from evening sunset. So, our Lord was able to perform the actual, you see, the Passover meal, you see, and after that one, he substituted the new thing for the Passover. That means no need for to further slaughter a lamb and eat of the unleavened bread. But instead of that, and he took the wine and the bread, and he substituted these things, and he said it as he said in his prayer, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So as he took the bread and broke the bread, he signified that this is my body. As this, you see, this bread is being broken. So similarly, I will be broken for you, so that you may get salvation. So hence Jesus said that do this in remembrance of me. So it was after that Passover that was ended, that meal was ended, that Jesus began the new, you see, new concept of the Passover, the antitypical one. You see, the type ended there, and from there the antitypical began to be followed. Okay, next paragraph. Ashish brother, can you read, brother?
These words, "This is my body," have caused endless disputes for centuries among the Lord's people. The basis for the dispute being the Roman Catholic doctrine of the Mass, which claims that under the priest's blessing, the bread is changed into the actual flesh of Jesus, which the priest then adores and proceeds to break a fresh sacrifice for the sins of those for whom the Mass is said. To have this procedure resemble that of our Lord, great stress is laid on these words, "This is my body," thereby to prove the body in the bread and the possibility of its sacrifice. But the whole matter is very, very quickly settled when we remember that our Lord had not yet died when he said these words. Hence, he must have meant, "This bread represents my body." For any other interpretation or meaning would have been untrue, for he was still flesh, it changed not having it come in any sense.
Thank you, brother. So here in this paragraph, we see that how Jesus, you see, mentioned that words, "This is my body, the bread is my body." So we have seen in the basic class, in the period of the Antichrist, where this false doctrine crept inside the church, claiming that, you see, that bread, when the Roman Catholic bishop or the Pope, he chants some Latin words, "Octops corpus meum," so that immediately that bread actually becomes the, you see, body of Jesus Christ. And as the bread is broken, they claim that Jesus is literally sacrificed then. Why? Why again Jesus has to be sacrificed? If he asks this question, they tell that this is again for the remission of the sins. What sins? If you see, Jesus died for the sins which we have committed before we accept Jesus Christ. But what about the sins that we commit after accepting Jesus Christ? So they claim for those sins, Jesus is broken again. So daily they broke. Why? Because daily we sin. They break it morning and evening. Why? Because morning and evening completely we sin. So each and every moment they remember the last death in this way, claiming that this is a literal body. But we know very well that we have a little bit of spiritual sense as well as a common sense, that the bread can no way You see, B equal to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus just compared that one to a bread. You see, compared his body to a bread. This is just a significance. This never had a literal meaning. You see, Jesus, while he was on this earth, he used such sort of comparison various you see times in the you see his scriptures and various times in his life. For example, Jesus in John 15 chapter says that I am the true vine and you are the branches. My father is the husbandman. Does it mean that Jesus is literally vine? He's a grapevine and he's literally become a grapevine? Of course not. You see, that is just a comparison. You see, some you see meanings, some lessons had to be taught to the disciples, and Jesus used this comparison. That doesn't mean that Jesus is literally the grapevine. Similarly, in the Bible, Jesus is compared to the light. Jesus tells, I am the light, that light that every man that come into the world. See, is Jesus literally the light? You see, no, light always signifies enlightenment, brightness, which hides the darkness, which brings some things to. You see, our sight awakening, you see, and knowledge, intelligence. Therefore, Jesus is compared to light. Because when Jesus came, the people who were living in ignorance, they came to clear understanding of who God is there, what is his purpose, what is his plan. So, similarly, you see, here when Jesus says, I am the true bread. I am the bread which cometh from heaven. You see, your fathers ate the bread which came from heaven. They ate and they died. But that bread they ate and died. But this bread, if they eat this bread, they're not going to die at all. This is a little thing. You see, if we eat Jesus Christ, can we eat Jesus Christ? Literally, can we eat Jesus Christ? And if we eat literally Jesus Christ, can we not die at all? These are all symbolic representations. Hence, we have seen in the basic class itself how to study the Bible, the first class, the 10 points, 10 methods of understanding the Bible that has to be clearly understood. And one of the way the Bible is written, and majority it is written in a parabolic and a symbolic way. Jesus himself said, no, I open not my mouth except with parables. Jesus' disciples questioned him, saying, why, Master, why do you speak in parables? Jesus said, unto him that has, it shall be given, but unto him that doesn't have, even that which he has shall be taken off. So those who have interest, only to them these symbolic meanings will be opened from the scripture. Hence, you see, this interpretation claiming that the body, that bread literally becomes the body of Jesus and literally it is broken, is absurd and it can't be, you see, taken at all. Hence, in the Bible, you see, it is called the abomination that maketh desolate. In God's sight, breaking the body of Jesus Christ again and again, let it be symbolically also, you see, that is actually abomination. Because Christ did this one once for all. Hebrews 7:26, Hebrews 9:27, 9:26, it clearly says that Jesus died once for all. The high priest had to repeat this one every year. But Jesus did this one once for all at the end of the age. So there is no need for us to repeat, you see, the sacrifice of the but to remember his death with the symbol, only that has to be done. Why? To commemorate his death. Because through his death, we have got a greater deliverance from this world. Okay. Next paragraph. Next paragraph. Who will read? Who can read?
I'll read, brother.
Now, please, Mr.
Taking our Lord's word in their simple, obvious sense, how beautiful their lesson. Unleavened, pure bread, henceforth, would at this memorial represent our Lord, the bread from heaven, of which we may eat and have everlasting life. The next thought is that this heaven-supplied bread must be broken in order to be appropriate. And so we see that it was necessary not only for our Lord to come from heaven as a bread, but necessary also that he be broken in death, sacrificed for our sin, or we could appropriate his merit and enjoy everlasting life.
Thank you, sir. So here, if you see, why then the comparison is given? You see, there are a lot of reasons. Here, our brother gives three reasons, sir. First of all is that when the Jewish people ate bread, they always ate, maximum time they ate unleavened bread. That is pure bread. There was no yeast or leaven inside that one. So what does that represent, sir? That bread was supposed to be pure. That means it meant to be pure. So if Jesus is the bread, that means he is pure. There is no leaven inside him. There is no false doctrine. There is no sin. You see, he is very pure. And primary reason. Second, you see, this, you see, bread, which God gave to the people of Israel during the wilderness journey in wilderness, that was the bread which God gave from heaven. You see, that means the manna. We know that the Jesus himself saw that, you see, the manna which God gave from him, that was compared to bread. Doesn't mean that the manna just came like that and they picked up, you see, and they ate in their house, just literally that only. No, you see, that manna was like coriander seed. You see, they had to broke open it, and inside, you see, that manna will be there, and they have to crush it, you see, make it into pancakes. You see, and mix it with honey and then eat it. It was like almost eating a honey cake. You see, you would have eaten cake, no? Just imagine a cake which is completely made out of honey. You see, that was the way actually manna was supposed to be prepared. So here again, the comparison goes on. As this bread came from, as the manna came from heaven, similarly Jesus came from heaven. You see, in the third point, you see, the usually the bread was supposed to be broken. They can't, they won't, or they the people of Israel never ate the bread just like that one without breaking it. So similarly, before partaking of Jesus Christ, it was necessary that Jesus should break himself. Jesus should be crucified, should die on the cross. You see, hence the comparison clearly matches. Hence that word bread is used to just compare Jesus Christ. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, who can read? The blood of the new covenant.
I'll read with it.
You already read. So, whoever is not read. So, let the turn go on. How about Muna sister? And how about Brother Amar?
Okay, brother.
Okay, good.
The pearl of new covenant, the fruit of the vine, was next introduced as a part of this memorial of our Lord's loving sacrifice. He explained that if represent his blood, the blood of the new covenant seed for many for the remission of sin. Matthew 26:28. What a reminder this is of the ransom price necessary and paid off behalf of the sin of the world. The broken bread taught a part of the lesson that cough taught the reminder of it. We not only need nourishment, strength, assistance to come back to God and His favor, but we need the precious blood, that life of our Lord as our redemption price to release us from the condemnations of justice.
Thank you, brother. So next, after breaking the bread, what did Jesus give? Jesus gave the wine and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin." And he also said, "This is the blood of my covenant, you see, which is again shed for the remission of sins." So why Jesus gave the the picture of a blood. Why did he compare the wine to the blood? You see, the color is the same. Not only that one, the blood usually represents the ransom sacrifice of our Lord. And why did Jesus pay the ransom sacrifice? Because through Adam, sin and death enter into the world, and Jesus, as the second Adam, had to pay an equal price. So hence that price, you see, which Jesus paid, is compared there to the grape of the vine. You see, so bread itself is not sufficient. Along with that one, the vine is also necessary. That means Jesus just dying for the world is not only sufficient, but the blood of Jesus Christ is necessary. You see, the preciousness of the blood and the life and the redemption price of the, you see, Jesus Christ to release all mankind from the condemnation of death. So this, you see, blood was supposed to be poured. Remember the sacrifices in the tabernacle? You see, when the Day of Atonement came, what did they do? They took the blood, you see, the lamb and the bullock was sacrificed. But after that, what they used to do? They used to take the blood and going to pour on the most holy, you see, on the seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, on the you see, the mercy seat. So there, the blood was supposed to be poured. You see, so similarly, Jesus' blood was required to release every mankind from the condition of death. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph. Munas sister, are you able to read?
Okay, brother.
Thank you, sir.
The disciple must by faith partake of appropriate both the bread and the cup, for they cannot be one with him. More than this, the apostle shows that there is another obscure view of this memorial. We who does eat and drink, who partake of our Savior's meals and reckon in with him and his members as his body being broken and our lives sacrificed in his service under his direction are counted as a partake of his sacrifice. The apostles' words are the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not a common union of the blood of Christ? The loaf which we break, is it not the common union of the body of Christ? For we many are one loaf and one body, because we are all partakers of that one loaf, Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17.
Thank you, sister. So, why did Jesus give both the emblems? You see, why first give the bread and next give the wine? There is a reason for it. We just now saw the meaning of the symbols. So, this is the condition of the gospel age. If anybody wants to follow the footsteps of Jesus, if anybody wants to believe in Jesus Christ, these two conditions have to be met. What is that one? Two conditions. Believe in Jesus Christ. Next, go ahead with the consecration. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. These two conditions are very important. Let us read one verse, Philippians 1:29. Anybody can read Philippians 1:29? Philippians 1:29.
Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him but also to suffer for his sake.
You see, not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. This is the condition of the gospel. Not only just eat the bread, but also drink of the wine. So, what does that signify? That signifies communion. The word communion actually is in the Bible. What do you mean by the word communion means? Communion means common union. That short form is communion. That itself signifies that it is a common union, the unity with Christ. We are completely mixed with Christ. That shows the oneness with Christ. As Christ was broken for the ransom of this world, as Christ poured out his blood so that he could redeem mankind and deliver mankind. So similarly, we have, you see, joining God with the sacrifice of our Lord, you see, to make it up. Okay, since these two symbols are very, very important. Okay, next paragraph. Ashish brother, can you read brother?
Okay, the Lord's disciple. Oh yes, how deep are the Lord's relation, and the deeper we look, the more beauty we see. The eyes of understanding opening more and more as we appreciate and utterly obey. Let us keep the feast in both senses. Then, first, appropriating and feasting on the great work done for us by our Redeemer and the riches of grace granted us through him. And second, appreciating our privilege of joint sacrifice with our Redeemer, laying down our lives in his service for the brethren, etc., and thus healing of that which is behind of the affliction of Christ. Colossians 1:24.
You see, the two symbols were given. You see, that not only signifies this meaning, but also has a practical implication or consequently. What is that one? You see, the partaking of the bread, that, you see, always remembers the grace which God gave to us. Though we were nothing in this world, though we were sinners, you see, though there was no law in God's, you see, in rule, or in God's justice, that mankind should be redeemed, the sinner should be redeemed. Yet, he made a provision in such a way that Jesus could die and, you see, release the whole mankind from death. Because of which, we have got an opportunity to walk in the narrow walk of life. You see, that appropriating the sacrifice of Christ in this gospel age on our behalf. And the second thing, appreciating the privilege. What is that? Appreciating the privilege of what? That we are partakers with Christ in his sacrifice. You see, that privilege. You see, that means, you see, it is not only, you see, understanding the ransom, but again, the second part is that we are, you see, offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, there is afflictions which Christ has left, and we are actually filling it up. Remember, you see, when Jesus gave the grape wine to everybody, he gave it in a single cup. You see, and he drank, you see, the larger portion and gave it to the disciples to drink one by one. So one by one, they took their sip. You see, their portion of Christ's suffering, they, you see, partook it. You see, they experienced it. So similarly, even today, that cup is being passed over, you see, to all the disciples, all the consecrated ones. Why? So they may partake of it. They may partake of the suffering. This is the greatest privilege, brother, to die and to suffer for Christ. You see, this opportunity, you see, the whole world and none of the people will get so easily. It is only for the consecrated. Hence, this is the deeper lesson in it. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Romy sister, can you read?
For now, quite hard, brother.
Yeah.
No, Gigi.
Left behind. Page number 39, last paragraph, sir.
I think she cannot read now, brother.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay, sorry. Okay, Amar brother.
Okay, brother. Okay, left behind, not because our Lord could not suffer enough for all, nor because his suffering were not sufficient for all, but because he wished to have us with him to share his nature and his glory, and only by suffering with him and as his member could we be allowed to share his glory, honor, and immortality.
Thank you, brother. So, why did Jesus leave this suffering? You see, he could have completely, you see, suffered the entire thing on himself now. Why did he leave some sort of suffering for the church? What is the benefit of it? You see, brethren, you see, Because Jesus wanted his brethren be with him. You see, what did Jesus say? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If I go, I'll prepare a place and come and take you back. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. You see, Jesus' desire and prayer was that, Father, where I am, there they may be also with me. And Jesus said, no, you see, I will come and take you back. So you may be with me, you see. So that privilege, you see, that if you want to attain, what is the condition? See, the condition is that offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice is the realized, exchange it for the heavenly one. So until we partake of his sufferings, we can never, you see, partake of that heavenly blessing. Hence, Jesus had to leave it. Not that he could not suffer, not that he had something that he could not bear and he left it for the church. You see, he could have finished it entire. But he wanted a group of people to be like him and to be with him. Hence, remember what Apostle Paul said in Philippians. Let us read that verse. Somebody please read Philippians 3rd chapter. Verse 10. Verse 10 and 11. Philippians 3.
Okay, brother. Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
You see, if by any means, you see, if I attain the resurrection of the dead, how my resurrection should be? You see, it says in 10th verse, you see, that I may know the power of his resurrection. If I need to know the power of his resurrection, to be likeness in his resurrection, what is the condition? You see, the fellowship of his suffering, being made equal, conformable, conformed, almost equal to his death. See, this is the condition of the gospel age. If you want to be of that little flock, our death should be equal to the death of Jesus Christ. Okay, next paragraph. Gopal brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. So for the Lord's death, we exhort all the Lord's brethren everywhere to join us in observing the Lord's memorial on its proper anniversary, as above stated. Gather with as many as profess faith and consecration, urge not others. Let us meet in twos and threes and larger group as opportunity permits. Take a day or two off, if necessary, to assemble with brethren nearest you. Do not let monetary considerations decide everything. One spiritual feast with the Lord and those who celebrate his memorial in sincerity is worth more to us than several meals of natural food. Men shall not live by earthly bread alone, but especially by the bread from heaven.
Thank you, brother. So here our brother encourages, you see, so that we all gather together to yearly commemorate his death. You see, and he says, let it be a small gathering or a big gathering. Let it be two or three, but yet that gathering has to be there. You see, we remember in the Bible that when the Passover was celebrated, the whole Jewish converts, let it be the Jewish people, they dwelt in different nations. They came and traveled and came to Jerusalem. Why? Because this Passover was not to be celebrated anywhere, wherever you want. But Bible had clearly given a law that this has to be done in a particular place which God had determined. Hence, you remember, Jesus could have celebrated this last supper where? In Martha's and Maria's house, Lazarus' house, which was very comfortable to him, or in Garden of Gethsemane, you see, where nobody was there secretly. You see, any other place, but why did Jesus say a particular spot? Because that was in the law, the place which God had appointed. So similarly, where let it be two or three or big, you see, instead of thinking about the monetary benefits, about food and you see other things, and that day a special privilege, you see, and special time has to be given to particularly meditate upon our Lord's death and his sufferings. You see, and brother suggests that you take 2 days off so that you can study on these things. You see, if somebody has that privilege, great, well, fine. You see, some people they start studying for 40 days. You see, now it's a time of the Good Friday. If you see in the local or the nominal Christians, they have that 40 days Lent period where they fast for 40 days. They abstain from worldly things. You see, so brother says that you can take the privilege and you can abstain from, you see, not worldly food but worldly things and concentrate more on God. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Bundan sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. In the solitary verse, who cannot possibly meet with whom even one more should celebrate. These goods are unleavened bread and would do very well. Though if you near a Hebrew family, they will be pleased to sell you an unleavened loaf for a cent or two. As for fruit or the vine, it is advisable to put away a bottle of grapes in summer, but if you have not, you can steam the resin and use the juice, which will be fruit of the vine, truly as a year.
Thank you, sister. So here, you see, our brother says, if you're not able to prepare a bread, you see, as we prepare in Ecclesia or Nepal, you see, brother says, we can take some soda biscuit or unleavened bread. You see, this is actually written from the angle of American, you see, market. So if you see from American angle, this is a very common thing that is to be sold everywhere because a lot of churches, because majority everybody are Christians. So wherever you go, you'll get a soda biscuit. That means a biscuit which is not put, and no salt or leaven is put inside that one. Or we can even get a ready-made, you see, wafers that is given for the communion. You see, brother says you can even use those things. Or if you don't have this privilege, if there is any Hebrew nearby, we can take that opportunity to go and ask from them because they will be having a sufficient stock. You see, and what about the grapevine? You see, brother says, you please prepare it 1 year before itself. You see, make some stock so that you can have it for the next year. But I don't know how much, you see, it can be safely, hygienically preserved. But apart from this one, brother gives a suggestion that you can use raisins. You see, dry grapes is there now. If you don't have anything, at least dry grapes will be all over the world. You see, you can use that one and crush it and make a juice. And from that one, you can partake the wine. You see, so many of the brethren in the olden days in India, they used to do one when they were not privileged to get this one. You see, so that they used to do it. So we can use that one. But by God's grace, today we have a lot of opportunities, a lot of. You see, mall and you see, a lot of places we get a grape squash, you see, and make a roti type thing in our house. That comes a very natural feeling how Jesus actually broke the bread. So we can do this one. Okay, next paragraph. Next paragraph, Amar brother, can you read?
Okay, brother. But do not let us allow preparation for the memorial to see fill our thoughts that the real meaning of the emblems will be forgotten. On the contrary, let us give as much of the preceding and the succeeding days as possible to prayers and to meditations of the stupendous events memorialize and the fill upon the living bread in our hearts with thankful joy.
Thank you, brother. So, our brother says, instead of giving so much importance to the emblems, let us not give so much importance to them, though the emblems are important, not so much important than the real meaning. Let us give more important on studying the word of God and meditating upon his sacrifice before the memorial and after the memorial as well. That would be really blessings. After the memorial, what we can meditate, what all things happened in Jesus' life after that one. You see, so these things we can read from the scriptures and get more encouragement. Okay, last paragraph. Last paragraph, we'll read. Okay, Gopal brother.
Okay, brother. We again recommend that after the season of communion, while partaking of the symbolic bread and cup, the meetings all close as did the one our Lord conducted as an example. They sang a hymn and went out. Let us do the same, omitting our as usual greetings, etc. Let us keep our thoughts with the Lord in Gethsemane, at the high priest court, before Pilate, before Herod, before Pilate again, beaten, condemned to death, carrying his cross, crucified for our sins. These thoughts are sure to make us appreciate our Lord the more and to hate sin the more, and thus will help us to realize better what manner of persons we ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness.
Very good, brother. Thank you. So, dear brethren, here it says, you see, after partaking the memorial, usually what the brethren do, you see, after service, what that we usually do, we have fellowship with each other, we greet one another, encourage them, you see, have discussions, we take the testimony, you see, how the week went on. So, a lot of things we do, you see, and spend time with the brethren. But on the memorial, you see, after the memorial is over, you see, instead of having a closing prayer, you see, brother suggests that after him, we just walk silently back home. Why? Because Jesus did the same thing. After he offered his prayer, everything broke the bread and all, you see, he sang a hymn and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. So after the hymn, there is no record that Jesus prayed. So whatever he prayed before. So after this thing, hymn, with that, you see, calm mind, with a peaceful mind, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. So similarly, let us experience the same thing. You see, brother suggest that let us not greet one another as we do it in a usual other days, and just walk peacefully to home, and then meditate what all things happened in our Jesus' life. How he is arrested, how he was manipulated, how the judgment went on an entire night at the high priest court. Then they were brought to Pilate, and how falsely they were accused. Emperor Pilate saw that there is nothing wrong in him and sent to the Herod, so the Herod may decide that he may not be guilty of his death. But Herod could not find anything, so again he returned back to Pilate. And Pilate somehow thought to release Jesus, but he could not be released, so he was caused, at least in that way, to pacify the Jews, but they were never pacified. So ultimately, he washed his hands and submitted, you see, Jesus to the people. So, in these things, you see, brother says that let us meditate on these things. So, can we would, and my experience is that we used to do those things, you see, when in Bangalore, because we used to gather in a big hall, some 300 or 400 brethren were there. So after this one, we used to walk silently. But in Nepal, this is very, very difficult. It's a very small congregation, just only two, three, and everybody are in the same family. So we could not practically do it because it was not appropriate. And I used to visit, we used to travel when we could not simply walk just without wishing anybody or without speaking to anybody. So some places, it is practically not possible. But yet again, we can have that thoughts for, you see, Master's sacrifice always in our mind, you see, as we go on to this memorial. So, let us stop here. Next week, we'll continue with a new chapter. Okay? So, Lord bless. Anybody's got any questions, any doubts? They can ask. Okay, no doubts, no questions. Okay, let us end with a word of prayer. In the end, Sister Munna, Munna sister, can you offer a prayer? Okay. Gopal brother, can you offer a prayer?
ओके मैडम, सर्वशक्तिमान परमेश्वर हामी तपाईँलाई धन्यवाद चढाउँदछौँ। परमेश्वर बुवा, आजको दिनमा फेरि पनि हामीलाई तपाईँको वचनलाई, तपाईँको मृत्यु अनि त्यसपछि यसको सिग्निफिकेन्सका कुराहरूलाई, एम्ब्लेम्सका कुराहरूलाई मनन गर्ने अवसर मौका तपाईँले हामीलाई दिनुभयो, त्यसको लागि हामी तपाईँलाई धेरै धेरै धन्यवाद भन्न चाहन्छौँ। जसरी हामी मेमोरियलमा नजिकिँदैछौँ परमेश्वर बुवा, हाम्रो हृदयहरूलाई तयार गर्न, हाम्रो सबै कुराहरूलाई तयार गर्नको निम्ति तपाईँले हामीलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस्। सो अध्ययनमा पनि हामीलाई सहायता गर्नुहोस् परमेश्वर बुवा, अनि अझै हामी तपाईँको मृत्युलाई गहिरेर बुझ्न सकौँ भन्ने गरेर प्रार्थना गर्न चाहन्छु। हामी धन्यवाद भन्न चाहन्छौँ ब्रदर राजुको लागि पनि परमेश्वर बुवा, जसरी उहाँले तपाईँको वचनहरू बुझ्नलाई, बुझाउनलाई सहायता गरिराख्नु भएको छ, त्यसको लागि धन्यवाद भन्न चाहन्छु। धन्यवाद सम्पूर्ण कुरा तपाईँको हातमा सुम्पदछौँ। सारा आदर महिमा प्रशंसा तपाईँलाई नाश्वर देव सुकृष्टको वचन पवित्र नाममा, आमेन।
Amen. Thank you. Lord bless everybody.